Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to give a presentation on the doctrine of hell. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 14 states this: "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" That's Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14. It asks the two most important questions we will ever answer. Those questions are, number one, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And number two, who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? The devouring fire and everlasting burnings is a description of the living conditions of that everlasting dwelling place called hell. The all-important question for you today is, if you were to die today, do you know for a fact that you would not go to hell? Biblical proof for hell is overwhelming. Unbelief or any rejection of hell by a Christ rejecter or cultist does not lower the temperature by one degree. It is amazing the number of people that will tell you that they believe in heaven. Heaven is the most pleasant topic in all languages and in all cultures. Though we quite readily believe in heaven, we are quick to doubt that there is an eternally burning place called hell. There was a secular song that was sung by a man that said he knew there was no heaven, and he prayed that there was no hell. That man could not be more wrong. Hell is the most unpleasant place in all languages and all cultures. The fact is that most folks in the world have a perverted view of heaven that has been fed to them from the plate of false religion. They also have a perverted view of hell. The Bible doctrine of hell is so frightful for the religionists of today's apostate, effeminate Christianity that they have lessened its impact on the believers of today by referring to it as Sheol, the grave, and Gehenna. These are nondescript terms that in no way convey to the unbeliever of today the harsh reality of hell. It is not Sheol. It is a literal, eternally burning hell. It is not the grave. It is a literal, eternally burning hell. It is not Gehenna. It is a literal, eternally burning hell. The term Sheol and Gehenna have absolutely no meaning to the unbelievers that walk the streets of English-speaking nations. That is the way that the devil would have it. But if you mention the word hell to English-speaking peoples, they immediately connect hell with fire. Do the words Sheol and Gehenna bring fear to the hearts and minds of unbelievers? I would say they definitely do not. The Bible says this in Jude verses 22 and 23. "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." That again is Jude verses 22 and 23. Hell and eternal punishment are mentioned at least 88 times in the King James Bible. The word hell is used 54 times in the King James Bible. The physical instrument of man's punishment in hell is fire. Fire is the instrument of God's judgment upon mankind. In the very first mention of fire in the King James Bible, God is using fire and brimstone to judge the wickedness and sexual perversion of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. In the first mention of hell in the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is identified as a place of fire. Its first mention in the Old Testament is in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22, which reads as follows, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22. In hell's first mention in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. During his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ preached and taught more on hell than he ever did on heaven. In its final occurrence in our Bibles in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the doctrine of everlasting punishment is connected with fire and brimstone. Of the 550 occurrences of the word fire in our King James Bible, at least 66 of those are connected either with God's then present use of fire in judgment or his promised use of fire in future judgments. Three different times the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3, and in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. We do not need less preaching on hell. We need more preaching and teaching on hell. Whatever happened to the fire and brimstone preachers of old? Many preachers will not preach on hell because they are afraid of offending lost sinners and driving them away. To that we would reply, is it better to offend them or see them burning in hell forever? If you will not preach and teach on hell, you do not love lost sinners like you ought to. Now, there are at least six principles that make hell a reasonable fact. Those six principles are, number one, the principle of separation. Every garbage dumpster is an argument for hell. Why? Life is built upon separating good from bad. Number two, hell is a reasonable fact because of the principle of consequence. Hell is the logical outcome of sin. The principle of sowing and reaping is applicable to this life and the next. The third reason that hell is a reasonable fact is the principle of restraint. If there were no hell, if there were no eternity separated from God, man would feel free to live as he pleases. The fact that many now reject this doctrine is reflected in the behavior of our society. Folks, we are reprobate as a nation. Number four, fact that makes hell a reasonable fact is the principle of justice. God is just. For God to have no hell would be contrary to himself and his holiness. The fifth reason that makes hell a reasonable fact is the principle of Calvary. If hell is a myth, then why did God send his son to die for our sins on the cruel cross? And the sixth fact that makes hell a reasonable fact is the principle of missions. If there is no hell, then why did the Lord Jesus Christ command the church on four occasions to take the gospel to the world? Now, what is the nature of hell? Hell is a place. There are those who say simply, hell is where God is not. But hell is a place, and it is identified as such in Matthew chapter 13, verses 49 and 50, We are not told where hell is located, except that the Bible says it is down. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 9 and 15, and also in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 14, and in Numbers chapter 16, verse 33. Hell is also a prepared place. God deliberately prepared this awful place for fallen angels. We see that in the passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. Hell was not prepared for man, for God is not willing that any should perish. In fact, God never sends anyone to hell. It is sin uncovered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will do that. Hell is also a painful place. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, the Lord Jesus Christ described the real case of a rich man dying and going to hell. This passage states the following. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And folks, one did rise from the dead. And that man that rose from the dead was the man Christ Jesus. And the book of Luke chapter 16 is talking about, if they will not receive the word of God, then they will also will not believe though one rose from the dead. And one did rise from the dead. Do not be deceived. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31 is not a parable. Hell is a literal place of everlasting pain and torment. The pains of hell are described as follows. Number one, it is conscious pain. The man in hell could see, hear, feel, and thirst. All five senses are seen in this passage. Number two, it is a physical pain. See Psalm 116, verse 3, Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, and Luke chapter 16, verse 24. Psalm 116, verse 3, The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Next up, we have Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Luke chapter 16, verse 24, And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So we see that it involves physical pain. And number three, it also involves mental pain. Luke chapter 16, verse 25 states this, But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. There's that mental pain, folks. This man was told to remember how the lost in hell will remember. They'll remember every time they were presented the gospel and rejected it. If you are lost and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will remember every sin, every opportunity, every church service, every sermon, every song, every prayer, every tear, every tract, every invitation, and every warning. What everlasting regret and anguish that brings, folks. Then number four, it involves also spiritual pain. The man in hell suddenly became concerned for his lost brothers. He wanted to be an evangelist, but could do nothing about it. And number five, it is eternal pain. The hell of the Bible is not a reform school. There is no second chance when eternity begins. A great gulf is fixed, folks. It is fixed. Hell is an eternal and as everlasting as our salvation is, folks. Hell is eternal. Eternal life, of course, is eternal. That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 46. Several cults believe in the false doctrine of annihilation. They teach that at death, a person ceases to exist forever. This view is based on a misconception of the meaning of death. Many think of death as being the end, but in the Bible, death means separation. Physical death is the separation of the soul and spirit from the body. We see that in James chapter 2, verse 26. Spiritual death equals the separation of the sinner from God in this life. And then eternal death equals the separation of man from God forever. We see that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Now Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 31 proves that man does not cease to exist after physical death. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 and Jude verses 7 and 13 prove that the second death is a constant, never-ending, fiery punishment. Because you see it referred to as everlasting and eternal and forever in the passages that we just referenced. Now, there is a difference between hell and the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 and 14 plainly states that there is a difference when it states that those in hell will be brought to the great white throne judgment, judged, and then cast into the lake of fire with hell itself. The casting of hell and death into the lake of fire is described as the second death. The term the second death is used four times in the book of Revelation. The distinction between hell and the lake of fire is best explained by a comparison to men's courts of law. And in that comparison, we see that hell equals the local jail where the criminal awaits trial. Then we see that the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20 is the trial itself. And then the lake of fire that they are cast into is the everlasting penitentiary, the place of no escape where the sentence is executed. a criminal once captured is locked up before and after his trial. A Christ-rejecting sinner is in torment before and after the great and terrible day of judgment, identified as the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. I would encourage you to go and read those verses and also read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Now, hell, before the ascension of Christ, in Scripture, now Scripture also indicates a difference in hell prior to the resurrection and ascension of the Lord. Hell was initially the place of departed souls and spirits of all men, whether saved or lost, and consisted of two sections, the place of torments and the place of paradise. A great gulf was fixed between the two, according to Luke chapter 16, verses 22, 23, and 26, also Luke 23, verse 43. This explains the passage concerning the Lord Jesus Christ going to hell in Acts chapter 2, verses 27 and 31. During the 3 days in the tomb, the Lord went to the paradise section of the region of the dead, as he had promised the thief on the cross in Luke 23, verse 43. Now, where is hell after the ascension of Christ? Since the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven, which is the abode of God, or paradise, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, this indicates a change in the location of paradise. The souls of dead saints are now with the Lord, for to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord for the saved folk. This change in the location of paradise occurred at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says about it. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. We will close our thing out today with Revelation 14, verses 10 and 11, and also Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 14, and Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Verse 10 of Revelation 14. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That's Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. Next up, we have Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Next up, we have Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's Revelation 21, verse 8. I strongly beseech you, folks, each of you, listening to me today, earnestly consider what I have said while you still have the breath of life in you. There is something worse than death itself, and that is the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the grim reaper that will devour death and hell itself. I want to close today by urging those of you who can listen to a 7-part series called Warnings of Wrath to Come, preached by the Pastor Jeff Ledbetter at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in Newport, Tennessee. It is uploaded to our website at earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. I want to thank you for joining us today.